We're getting set up and situated. Did you ever hear, how to put it, did you ever hear like just a few simple words sometimes, short words, one word maybe, and it sticks with you all week, or you find it cropping up constantly? And that's what happened this week to me. A word, understand, was always in the forefront this week, and worship was another one that came up. And this morning I've heard each one of them probably four to a half a dozen times out of different people this morning. And you know, understand, it was one that, and it will go with what's going on in your life today, I hope and pray. But that word understand was in my heart, and Pat and I were having our prayer this morning out on the deck when it was nice. The sun was out at 7, believe it or not, enough to have coffee outside. And we were crying out to God that we just didn't understand what we've been given this last month. And he brought me back to a teaching. I sat with Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel. I'm not trying to drop names, but I remember these pastors, we were around a table, and this one pastor was pouring his heart out, and he said, "Chuck, I just don't understand all the things that are happening to me." And Chuck's response to him was, I almost said the man's name, "God has never asked us to understand all the things that come into our life, but he has asked us to believe all the things that come into our life from him." That word understand was right there, and then worship kept coming in. So, you know, I don't understand even how I'm going to go through what I'm going to preach today. And Pat, you know, how can I stand up and ask you to believe, to do whatever? All I can do is share what God walked me through this week and opened my eyes, and then it's your choice. Do you want to believe this? Understand it? Try, please don't even go to the full understanding. But to believe it, yes, because God said it. And if we can't believe that God is true and yay and amen and everything that he said, past, present, and future, will come to pass, then let's all just get up right now. And where can we go? Let's go down to Barker and go fishing or something, you know? The other word was worship. And I was stuck in Psalm 95. This has nothing, this is extra today. So if you're in a hurry, you're in trouble. Psalm 95. I kept going back to this and back to this and not understanding. I mean, this is one that we all know, right? But in order to believe what we're having spoken to us today, the things that our eye gates are going to allow in over this week if we open this word, this is something that whatever the situation we're in, we lost our daughter. You know, and I don't, like I said, I don't want to make that about me. So I'll say Pete lost his wife. My grandchildren lost their mother. Their great-grandchildren lost their grandmother. You guys lost a dear, sweet friend, you know, but keep going. I don't understand. But I want to worship God in the proper way. And now maybe that's why I'm in 95 and, you know, we sing this. But it's time, like God was trying to impress on my heart. You know, the word hypocrite is hard to hear, but you know what hypocrite means in the Greek? Play actor. Play actor. That's all. We look at hypocrite as somebody, oh, you're saying this and you're not doing it. It's a play actor. It's like Bruce Willis. Do you think Bruce Willis can climb up the front of the World Trade Center when it's on fire? He's a play actor. But if we start to believe the way that we are play acting, we are hypocrites. And God was showing me this Psalm 95, if you're there. He says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And we can do that. We can make a joyful noise. We joke and say it's not always on key. It's not always very pretty, but it's a joyful noise. Joy is not something that is, you know, dependent upon the happenings of the day. It's what's inside of us. Let's make a joyful noise to the Lord, to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence. Here's where the hog eats the cabbage. Let's come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. You know, read the psalms. The psalmist poured his heart out. This stinks. This is terrible. I hate what I'm going through. I can't stand this anymore. But the psalmist always turned it at the end. Oh, but you, O Lord, are my hope. Oh, but you, O Lord, are my refuge. Oh, but you, O Lord, are my rock and my salvation. That is what it means coming before the Lord with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills are also his. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Verse 6. And I pray this happens to me. What you do, like I said, is your choice. But oh, come, let us. Remember last week, and this really got me too. I kept saying let us last week. We have to let these things. They don't just happen by osmosis. We don't lay down at night with our head on the Bible or put earphones in and listen to the word and all of a sudden everything is perfect. We have to allow this in our responsibility in our salvation to come before God and believe him, his divine revelation over human speculation. We have to do this. God is saying, come, let us worship. What have we done? What have I done to worship? I've said it for 40 years. Follow Skitch Henderson. And some of you don't even know who that is. Follow the bouncing ball. We used to watch it when we were kids on the TV, and you'd sing along and everything. Come, let us worship. Worship is more than singing. Worship is my life. I'm worshiping the Lamb of God, he who is worthy of all praise, the only one worthy of anything. My worship is more than a song. Some of us say, I don't like singing. I won't even sing that. Do you like God? Doesn't matter if you can sing. Doesn't matter if you like singing and the words that, well, I don't like that worship. It sounds like a concert. I don't like that worship. Sounds like rock and roll. I don't like that worship. It sounds like, you know, we have all these favorites. And forget, you know, when I first got saved, I was listening to Led Zeppelin and Frank Zappa and, you know, these guys try to turn me on to the Gaithers and things. I thought, oh my gosh, you know. I couldn't even say it was our father's worship or words because Dad listened to Roy Acuff and Tennessee Ernie Ford and amen, you know. Come, let worship is my whole life. Singing is included. That's almost like a cherry on top of the sundae. But listen to this. And bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. I looked up that word bow in its original, and it means as if mortally wounded. Oh my gosh. We feel like a knife has been run through us. We feel like there's wind going through us in a hole that just can't get filled. Come, let us worship and bow down as if you're mortally wounded. It's not about us, Pete, Ma, Teddy. It's about you. What are you going through today? What is that thing? And God is crying out to you. Bring it to me. Bring it to me in song. Bring it to me in thanksgiving. Bring it to me in praise because I'm worthy of it. But bow down as if it means something. We're a bunch of hypocrites. We got financial problems. We got medical problems. We got marital problems. We got kid problems here. And we walk out this door every Sunday without coming before the Lord. We're coming to the table today. Bow down. You know, this isn't even mortally wounded. This is mortally wounded. Oh, I'm play acting, right? No, I'm not. We're embarrassed of that. That's for them Pentecostals. That's for those four square. That's for them Assembly of God people. No, this is for the people of God. He didn't write it to any denomination. He wrote it to believers. Let us come, worship, bow down as if I'm mortally wounded. I've got nothing else. You got nothing else but God to come to with whatever your problem is. And we want to share in that problem with you. You're sharing in our grief right now. You're sharing in our mortal wounding. Why can't we do that with each other? And just trust God for what he's given us. What he's given us. So, again, 2 Thessalonians. I almost said I'm sorry, but I'm not.
He didn't finish it.
That's why I love her.
And we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
just a bunch of sheep. The bleeding of the sheep, the word says. What is that bleeding of the sheep in my ears, you know? Okay, so that was free, like I said. That has nothing to do with anything but you and I and our hearts before our Lord. So let's apply that, what we just heard, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you're there already, we're going to be in verse 16 and 17, I hope. We left off last week here in verse 15 with a command. And that command, remember, was stand fast, hold, military terms. Hold means cling, cling to it. Husbands, cling to your wife is a word that we have. Wives, cling to your husband. That's something you can worship and bow down for if you're going through that. Stand fast and hold what God has said. These traditions, Paul is saying, whether they were taught by word or epistle, a letter that was coming to you. So apply your situation, financial, marital, child, health, whatever it is. Stand fast and hold. Don't give up is what Paul was telling us through the Holy Spirit last week about traditions, ordinances, teachings, whatever the word is. Why is this so important to stand and hold fast in our salvation? Because just like in our physical life, we must learn to stand before we can walk. It's the same in our spiritual life. We, you know, too many of us, we want, let's get on with it. Let's get to the deep theological stuff. God is saying, I want you into the dug, not you, into the simplicity of myself. Okay? So I have to learn to stand. As Dad used to tell us, shut up and listen to yourself. Right? We like, wait, Dad, you know, Dad, that doesn't make any sense, you know? Yeah. He meant just stand there. Stop. Be quiet. Listen to what God is trying to explain, ingrain whatever word into your heart and your mind. See what the, just, we need to learn to stand and listen. Do you ever have anybody work for you when you say, and JJ, this isn't you, where are you? JJ listens now. He listens because he knows that I don't know what I'm talking about. You ever have somebody, you start telling them how to do something and they're walking away from you already? And you say, hey, wait, where are you going? I haven't finished. God is saying, stop. Be still. Know that I'm God. Know. Epignosis, a word beyond just a head knowledge. It's one thing to have the truth, but it's a whole nother thing to put it into practical application. And we have to listen to him, is what God has been trying to get to me this week. So in order to do that, stand before we try to walk or run in our spiritual life. It's not enough to know these truths, is what God has been showing me. I have to practice them, walk and talk. Our sayings and our heart have to be the same. You know, back in the 70s when we, some of us got saved, there used to be, don't give me your toot, show me your fruit. That's, you know, and that was coming out of hippies back then, you know. And what that means is just, don't be speaking this stuff. Let me see it. Let me see it. Do you think Lazarus had to tell people about Jesus once they knew he was dead? That could have been a bunch of, well, I thought I saw you last week. Yeah, but I died and I came back to life, you know. Yeah. Lazarus just walked out there and people were going, hey, tell me. I think when people see us living like we're going to read in these next two verses, if I get to them, we're not going to have to dream up or think of what do I say. God is just going to make himself present immediately through what he's already given to us. So we're going to get to what has he given us. 2 Thessalonians, let's start it. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us, underline some of these if you would like to, has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Father, open our ears. Let us hear what it is that you have to say. Let us ask ourselves and not point towards another. Am I? Am I letting this? Am I allowing this? Am I believing this? In Jesus' name. Paul was praying, and this is basically a prayer, the way he always did encourage his fellow believers, his friends, and I think it's a way we should act with each other. I don't know how to pray for you. Well, pray again for encouragement for me if you don't know how to pray, and pray for establishment. You know, what a word. We think establishment is like the PI or, you know, one of the players. That's an establishment. No, that we're going to see that it's a much deeper word than what we look at it in our English language. Paul wanted them to stand fast and to cling to God's word, no matter the opposition or the inducement. And as I look at that in my life, God wants each one of us to stand and hold what we have, no matter the opposition. What was their opposition? You know, or read it if we don't. It was the Thessalonians were inundated with non-believers, with pagan rituals, with all the stuff that we have if we drive down a boulder. It's not Netherlands, right? Not here. Yes, it is right here. We're going through that same stuff that the Thessalonians were going through. And God is saying, no matter what that opposition is to your faith, no matter what the inducement, and what is inducement, this English major, what is the world trying to send us to move us away from the truths of the scripture? So as we look at that, I have to ask myself, what's moving me? Paul said that, remember in Acts? All I know is where I'm going, I got chains, I got imprisonments, I got beatings, I got all this, but none of these things move me. What's moving me today from what we just read? That we, did you see all the have givens in there already? He has given, he has given, he has given, and he's going to. What's moving me from really believing that? I don't understand it. But what's moving me from believing that God has given me that? So those two verses, I feel, are fivefold, if you would, with what a believer receives at salvation and within his or her salvation. So here we go. Let's do this fast so we can get to the table where it really matters. What are those fivefold things, if you would, gifts, we can call them in a sense, that God has given us already to get through whatever the situation, even though we don't understand it today in your life, my life, Pat's life, Peter's life, what have I already got? Do you ever feel like you want something, but you don't know what it is, you know? I was in Home Depot the other day, and the guy said, hey, can I help you there, buddy? And I said, yeah, I want something that I don't need, I can't afford, but I'm gonna walk out of here with it today. And he goes, follow me, I got plenty of it, you know? Do you ever feel like you need something, but you're really not sure? This is what we already got. You don't need any of this. You don't have to beg God. We just have to ask God, let it flow. Give it to me. Let me walk in this truth, Lord. So those five things, here they come. The person, remember, I don't have to read that again, but he has loved us, okay? So the thing that a person who's saved receives from the Lord is the love of God in Jesus Christ. He puts both of them in there. And did you know, word studies are so important. He puts both of them. Usually God is first, Jesus is second. He puts Jesus first, then God in here. And both of these are operated by a singular. Now listen, you know, as we look and see the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, these two names that he gave us are governed by a singular verb. Meaning what? What's that, Doug? That means that they're the same. So not only is God saying it, but Jesus Christ is saying it. Not only is Jesus saying this, but God is saying it in the mouth of two or more witnesses. The truth will be known. This is truth. So we receive at salvation the love of God in Jesus Christ, John 3:16. If you're not saved today, none of this is going to matter to you. Because you'll be out there smacking your head against a wall trying to do this in your own strength, in your own will, in your own power, which will hit a wall. Trust me. Anyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, not understand, believe in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. step one on the springboard, one bounce. If you don't have it, today we're going to the table. Get to the table and accept this. This is what we get at salvation. The person saved receives eternal consolation. That Greek word is paraklesis. Paraklesis, it's spelled differently than a New York guy can say. But it's just the same as the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. What we get, and we just read it, I hope in your translation, everlasting consolation is what he gives us. So as we look at the everlasting, what does that mean? That means eternal encouragement is what God has given? Eternal, not just temporary, not just through some things. Eternal, eternal encouragement, eternal comfort, eternal strength. Unmovable and unshakable. What's moving me? Why am I doubting my God? He's already given me this. Now I just have to receive it. The person who saves receives good hope, it says in there, and good hope. But this is only given by God's grace. What's our hope? What's our hope? What's hope that's seen? We all know the word, right? Hope that is seen is not hope, but yet what a man does not see, that yet he hopes for. Because the things that are seen are what? Temporal. The things that are unseen are eternal. That's our hope. So far, with whatever we're going through, we have got the love of God. We've got eternal consolation. We've got eternal good hope through God's grace. The person who's saved receives comfort. Comfort. I pray that means, you know, I've been trying to hold on to God's comfort, and so has Pat, and I'm sure Peter, and where's that comfort in your life? Is it something that's outside these doors? Is it something that's in a hopeful in the future? It has to be present. Let me have this one. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Again, one we know by heart, right? I knew this one, like I told Mike this morning. I've been preaching this for over 40 years now. Telling people who have lost loved ones, telling people who are going through divorces, telling people who have their children run away or on drugs or whatever it is, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world is what Jesus said. We can't let this take us down. We can't walk in the ways of the world. We have to walk in the ways of Christianity to show people this is true. And that's what this word says. So I've received comfort from my God. And it says, and let's start in 2, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God. You know, grace, another one. We had a grace period, right, on our license plates, every one of us. And if you miss the month that they do, they give you a grace period and you have one, but they still charge you for that month that you missed. And they'll give you a ticket if you don't put the tag on, which I didn't put on our car, so we're beyond our grace period. This isn't that kind of grace. This is the grace of God, the grace that sent his only begotten son to that death for Doug Gibney. Now that is what the Holy Spirit is saying. You've got that already if you're in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace be to peace. I'm going to go broke. I'm going to lose the house. I'm going to go bankrupt. My kids are gone. You know, what is your problem today that's moving you? And God is saying, I want my peace to come in, not as the world gives. Well, we can do a lot of things in the world together. We can go on a vacation. We can go get toasted, if those of you who know what toasted is, toasted. We can go and buy a new car. It might, you know, things that might help us. No. Grace and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, that word that we just had in there, paraklesis, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we, listen to this, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Five times. If I can't be comforted by the words of God, knowing that this is what he's put into my system already, how can I pass that on to you? How can I, it's like trying to sell a, I wish Tom was here. He quit a job one time. He said, I'm a salesman. They got me selling something I don't even believe in myself. How can I do this? If I can't believe and receive this comfort from God, how am I going to give it to you in that time of need that you might have? So the person receives comfort. not only from God, but for each of us, each one of us. You can comfort me. Trust me, you know, at a point like this, sometimes it'll be okay. That's not comfort. Someday it will be bearable. I'd like to hear that. I have no words. I can accept that. It's not like you're falling short. And in your situation, oh, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. Everything will come out at the end. We can bring a comfort beyond that. Those are our terms, just like, how are you doing? And, or in New York, hey, how you doing? God has got something more going on right now if we listen to these five things that he's already given to us. So that comfort, the person who has received Christ will be personally, this is like a promise, established in every good word and work. That is a word that when we look at that, established, or he's got in the King James, established, that word in its Greek meaning is strengthened, secure, stable, firm. I think that's what every man and woman in this world truly, besides love, that is something that we all long for, isn't it? I want to be strong in the Lord, don't you? Read his word and believe it then. I want to be secure, not only in my salvation, because some people think, well, I can lose my salvation, come and go, just like, you know, flies in a house. One day they're in there, one day they're gone. Don't we want to be secure? Don't we want to be secure in our well-being, in my health, in my finances, in my future? We want that. God's saying, I already gave it to you. Stable, stable. I want to be firm. I don't want to be moved here or there. Every man, every woman, I feel, really wants that. I want to be firm in my convictions. I want to walk and talk the same thing, not hide and do different things than what people see when they see me. So how's this possible? Let me end with that. How's all this possible in my life, Doug Gibney? How is all these things that I just heard? Do you remember what we had? We got the love of God. We've got eternal consolation. We've got good hope. We've got comfort. And we've got the establishment in every good word that we speak and every good work that we do, which goes together. Don't just, you know, this is James 1. I said, give me just a minute, but you can't miss this one. James 1, you don't have to turn there, but it's in James 1, 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I'm my worst enemy. It's not everybody else. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholds himself, goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deed. Wow. So as we look at things, how are these five things that Paul just spoke through the Holy Spirit possible in my life? You got to believe it. You don't need to understand it. Trust me, I don't understand. I don't understand why a beautiful young life was taken when there's a dozen that I could give them that nobody would miss. But see, my heart's not right there, because that's God's child. It's not mine. That's God's idea of love out there. That's God's idea of an image created in his image, not mine. Not what I think, or not what I want, or not what I accept as an individual. So how could this be possible in my life? Hebrews 4. Craig, get ready. You're going to be on in a second. Hebrews 4. How is this possible? Again, I'm ending with that, with what I'm going through, meaning you. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That means in the nick of time. That means immediate, present, right now. It doesn't mean if you're going through something today, Doug, Peter, You guys, if you're going through something, it doesn't mean walk out this door and do the same thing that we've been doing over and over and over. That's the definition of what is it, Peter, an idiot? You know, we look at it, an idiot is somebody who does the same thing time after time after time and expects a different outcome each time. That's what that, you know, we're not fools. We've got the Holy Spirit. Don't walk out of this building today. If you want these things that we heard to be yea and amen in our lives, if we want help right now, get to our knees as if mortally wounded. There shouldn't be room up here today for people to come before God. There shouldn't be room when Seth is up there all by himself, week after week, holding his Bible, just watching people who he knows are having problems go out that door with the same problem they walked in here with. God is saying, I want to unload you today. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not maybe when this or that happens. He has done it, but he wants to do it today. That's how we understand. That's how we start to believe. That's how we make these things real in our life. We let it, and we come boldly. Why are we afraid of this? That's how God made knees, to bend this way. Did you ever try to bend your knee this way? Go ahead. You stiff-necked people. Tom Pratt, wish he was here. What an example of a neck brace. What's keeping us from here? Because, oh man, maybe Lauren or maybe Dennis is going to think I'm not a manly man like I've been trying to tell him for 20 years, 30 years. What are we afraid of? Come boldly. That means with assurance, confidence, without any problem. God is going to fix my problem today. And tomorrow, I'm not going to sit there and worry about this anymore to the point where I want to quit, where I want to walk away from a church, from a marriage, from children, from a job. God can do it. We're here for a short time. Let's get it right. Let's get moving on this. And we also have to have, what makes it possible in my life is that God is able. So I know most of your problems. I don't tell people about them. Well, some, you slip. I'm just kidding. I know your problems because I speak to you week after week after week. The answer to that problem, like ours, is do you believe that God is able? Period. Period. And that is what's going to be necessary for these things to happen in our lives. That I will come and confess and repent and try to get it right this week. And if it doesn't work right, do it again, do it again, do it again. Over and over till God calls us home. Do I believe that? Do I believe with all my heart that he is able to sucker that word in? And, you know, New Yorker, I know what a sucker punch is. I know what it is to sucker you in. He's saying, do you believe that I am able to hold your heart? Do you believe that I'm able to take that and comfort it? Do you believe I'm able to change that situation? I'm having a hard time in some of that. But, you know, every time I don't feel, if I act as if I love my wife. I act as if I love my children. I act as if God loves me. I'm going to start feeling better. I'm going to start feeling like, hey, this is true. But the minute I start feeling like that can't be true, I hurt too much, this is out the window. The table waits us. The table waits you. This is not a tradition, even though we only do it once a month. Once a month, not enough. But this is just the elements. God is saying, come to me. Come to me if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Put them to the test. But you've got to come. Don't wait on him. Well, I'm going to wait until she calls me and apologizes. Well, I'm going to wait till he does this. God is there. He's waiting for us. Now you got to come. So, Craig, come on up. I'm done. Bring it to the table. That's all I can say to us. Bring it to the table, because it ain't nothing that God hasn't seen before, and it's nothing that he can't deal with. Whatever you're going through, I challenge you. I ask you, make a covenant with our Lord today that I am going to bring this problem to the table this day, and I'm not going to move until I start seeing things happen. Amen. Amen. Amen.